Okay, welcome back, everybody, to our Learning Ashrei. It's very nice to see you all. Baruch Hashem. It's very nice to be back. I really, really missed. I sat and I said to Esther, did we remember for these past weeks that Hashem's always with us wherever we are? I needed to actively remind myself, always, but certainly the more stressful times, Hashem, you're right with me here in the kitchen. So we are learning Lilui Nishmas, Lezecher Nishmasa, Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our Torah and the merit of our striving to be ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, to keep enhancing and increasing our amuna. So we are on page 103, but I wanted to begin with something to address the difficult matzav, the painful and terrible situations, Rachman and Litzlan, that befell Achenu Beis Yisrael, specifically members of our community, over Yom Tov. We all, on the first day of Chol Moed, heard of the patira of the three-month-old from one of the families in our community on Neil HaSeder, and then, of course, a day or so later, the sudden tragic patira of the young Chasim Akal, Elisheva Kaplan, Allah Hashem, and Yisrael Levin, Allah Hashem, who were tragically taken from us. And on the one hand, we have this Indian of Simchas Yom Tov, and it's a mitzvah to rejoice on Yom Tov. And on the other hand, we have a tremendous sense of avelus and a tremendous sense of pain, and trying to fuse such diverse emotions within ourselves, and make sense, even though we can't make any sense of the tragedy, we make sense of the fact that we cannot understand. So in this week's Parsha, of course, very poignant and eerie and divinely orchestrated, that of course in this week's Parsha we have the deaths of the sons of Nadav and Avihu. The deaths of the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, Vayichu b'nei Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Ishmachtaso, the sons of Aaron, Nadav and Avihu, each man took their fire pan, it's not the same class as Parshas Uzin, Vayidnu behen Eish, and they put in a fire, Vayasimo le'aktoris, they put incense spices, and they came before God, close with a fire that God did not command them, and it came from ecstasy. It came from Ahava. It came from Simcha. It was such a joyous day of the Shiva Simeha Miluim. The 7 days of inauguration for the Mishkan were finished. It was the eighth day. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the month of redemption, the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And in their ecstasy, and in their passion, and in their fervor, and in their excitement, they offer fire. Vayakrivu. What do they want? They want to come close to Ribono Shel Olam. Karav, Karban, Vayakrivu. They want to be close to God in their ecstasy. Vateitze Eish Mufnei Hashem Vatocha Osa. A fire emanated from God and consumed them, and they died. And there are many reasons offered by the sages for why they died. They offered under the influence of wine. They were Mara Halacha before Moshe. They said the law before Moshe, the rabbi, without asking the rabbi for discretion. They waited for Moshe and Aaron to die. Many, many reasons. But we also have a principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik in tzadikim kechud ha-sa'ar. We also have a principle that God is exacting with the righteous like the hair, like as the width of a hair, that there is no room when it comes to the righteous for error. And it helps us understand how sometimes the righteous are taken so quickly because they are so righteous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them to him. It's very, very difficult. It's very, very painful. It's something that we are all sharing with the Agmas Nefesh of the families going through such sorrows. I'm just going to quote from Henny. Okay? You can't imagine how many times I say to myself, what would Henny say? You can't imagine how many times I say to myself, what would Henny say? I'm quoting from Henny Machlis. Nancy told me how many stickies she has in her book.
Many.
Many stickies. Okay. So, did you want to say something?
I was telling her who you're quoting from, Henny who?
Oh, Henny Machlis. I'm quoting from a tzedekes who lost her life very, very early at the age of 53 in Jerusalem, a woman from another world. The reason we have sickness in body is because, said Henny, we have sickness in soul. This is actually her Torah teachings. They have recordings of her Torah teachings. So when the soul will be corrected and will be God-connected, the way we have to be, we'll be able to have a healthy body. We'll be able to be healthy because if we have a healthy soul, we have a healthy body. So then a student says, aren't tzaddikim also sometimes going through illness? What's wrong?
Now, I was just pointing out to the extra safer.
Oh, okay. Thank you. But aren't tzaddikim also sometimes going through illness? Does that mean... So listen what the student says. But tzaddikim also suffer. The righteous also suffer. Does that mean that a tzaddik is a problem with their soul? Honey, first thought, that we have a problem with our soul, and therefore that manifests as an external problem with the body. So the student says, but aren't tzaddikim also sometimes going through illness? Does that mean that a tzaddik is a problem with their soul? We hear about tzaddik viralo. Why bad things? It's a classic question, happened to the righteous. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges tzaddikim up to hair's breath. How do you pronounce it? Very, very medactic, very to the fine point. So first of all, it could be they have something to fix. But in this generation, we have the concept that people are suffering in order to bring the redemption. It's an atonement for the rest of Am Yisrael. And I will tell you that this is a thought that Rav Shai Shachter shared with my husband and myself as well. He shared it with many, many sources. But there is this idea that a tzaddik brings atonement for the rest of the generation, that we are nechshal, we are failing, we are weak, we are wrong. We have to bring atonement. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem. The tzaddik comes close before God as an atonement for the rest of us. In this generation, we have a concept, people are suffering in order to bring the redemption. It's an atonement for the rest of Am Yisrael. Surely we could say the suffering of the tzaddik has nothing to do with them. They're perfect. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu medacting with them kechuda se'ara? Why is he so exacting with the tzaddik? The children of Rav Shimshon Pinchas said, Zecher Tzaddik Uvrach, he was killed in a car accident about 15 years ago, Erev Pesach, with his wife, 54 years old, with his wife, his Rabbitzin, Agon Olam, and his 18-year-old daughter, Miriam. And his son said, I remember reading, his son said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him right away so he wouldn't have a chance to daven. Because had Rav Pinchas had a chance to daven, a tzaddik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, Hashem would have had to change the gezeira. And the gezeira was that it was his time, he had to go. And in some way, this is the taking of a tzaddik. So the exactness of the Ribbono Shel Olam with the righteous is not because the righteous has a problem with their soul, it's because we have a problem. And instead of killing the entire generation, Rachmana Litzlan, they know Kodesh Baruch Hu takes a righteous person as an atonement. Surely we could say the suffering of a tzaddik has nothing to do with them. They're perfect. They're aligned with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayikrivu Eish Zara. They brought, now yes, there's many interpretations according to the Medrash, according to Chazal, according to Gemara. I brought you a handful of them. But Lamais, according to Pasha Pshat, they weren't commanded, but it came from a place that wanted to be close to God. They say about a great Hasidic Rebbe, he learns every day with Eliyahu Navi. So when he had a heart attack, I know he didn't have a heart attack because of him. He was atoning for the generation. We have to recognize, continued, so the student persisted. The student said, but why tzaddikim? And that's something that plagues us as well. Why do we see the wicked prosper? Why? Such richness in this world. When you read the news, when you follow the news about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael, there's such riches in every generation. They rise to destroy us. Why are they prospering? And the tzaddikim are suffering. Pasha Yidden. Pure Yidden dedicated to Torah and Tzarchit Tzibur. Chazan and Ashul, previous board executive director of Yeshiva Darchei Torah, people who pasha exude amuna. I watched the Hespedim online. I watched the Levaya online and live stream of the Levaya in Eretz Yisrael for Yisrael 11. I watched the hour and 45 minutes, the entire Levaya. I started 3 minutes late from the time that the Rav came in and they were tearing Kriya on Rabbi Levin and his sons until the Kavura was absolutely finished. And Israel was completely covered. Afar Atavel, Afar Tashuv, you are dust, you will return to dust, said Hashem to Adam after the first sin. A person who stands up and who has such amunah, such faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Hesed for his son, the other one died January 2016, his son Ari, then he gets up full of faith. We have to recognize, said Henny, we don't know anything. We don't know why anything happens to anybody. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know who they were in a previous Gilgal, in a previous, that soul is a reincarnation of a previous soul. And they somehow need a tikkun. They somehow need a rectification. They need a repair. We don't know why a three-month-old baby dies on Leil Seder. A pure baby, never did a sin. Their whole life. The parents put the child in the crib, and then the child's neshama is gone. On the night of Cherus, Asher ga'alnu v'ga'alav savaseinu, Lahodos, Lahal, Lishabech, Lefar, Leromim, Lahader, Lenetzerach, Levarach, La'alu, Kalis. We don't know what merit they are going to have because of what they're going through, said Henny. We just don't know. Just on Friday, my sister-in-law called me. She said there was a girl who was on her way to the seminary. She had a headache, so she went to the doctor. They found a brain tumor. Her funeral was Friday. My sister-in-law said, tell me, Henny Machlis, you tell me why. Do I know why, says Henny? Does anybody know why? Hashem has a plan. Her time was up. And maybe her time was up, or maybe it was for the people around to make us realize who we are. We are nothing. And the more we want to be something, the more we have to connect to Hashem and His wisdom and His goodness. As you know, He's everything and we're nothing. What are we? Nothing. Ma'anu, ma'chayenu, ma'atzit kaseinu, ma'agaraleinu. What are we? We see on the Yamin Aram. Anachnu ma'asad, Moshe and Aaron. We're nothing. Anochi afar ve'efar, said Avraham Avinu. So we get upset, and we have anxiety, and we forget Hashem's with us in the kitchen, and I have impatience, and I have jealousy, and I have cause. What am I? Saying to myself this week, I'm going to be like that person. I'm going to be in the ground, and they're going to shovel dirt, and they're going to cover with a marble slab. So what am I? It doesn't really answer the question, but that's the answer, said Henny. We don't know. We just don't know. But to keep in mind the Nakuda, one second, Malki, to keep in mind the Nakuda, that there is an inyan, that the reason the Ribbono Shel Olam is medaktik with a tzaddik kichud ha-se'ara, and gives them no chance for... no second chance, so to speak, to keep their neshama in this world, and they're taken so suddenly, is because there's an inyan of atonement for us. And it's something, let me just finish before I take a comment, this thought, something that Rabbi Levin, Yisrael Levin's father, Yisrael Levin, Alav Hashem, his father spoke about in his hesped in Eretz Yisrael. It was live stream, but it was a very up close view. But something that he stressed over and over is that these Yisurim, it was really Divrei Hisoris, words of reawakening, Divrei Chizuk, words of strengthening, and also Divrei Musar, a little bit through love. Rebuke, a little bit of a loving rebuke. One of the things he said is that we don't feel Shechinta Begalus. He was talking about our failings and our lack as a generation and as a people. We do not feel the concept of Shechinta Begalusa, which is Shechina Begalus, which means the divine presence is in exile. So we don't cry because God is in exile. When the Churban happened, when the destruction of the second base of Mikdash happened, so he says, we don't cry. He said, do we really feel pain because God is in exile? Do we really feel pain? Are we really so pained by the exile? Once a year, said Rabbi Levin, we take out the kinnus, the lamentations. Once a year, we sit on the floor, we fast, we cry, and we put them away. He said, we have Torah, we have mitzvahs. He says, but is it really, do we have a burning desire to be close to Ribbono Shel Olam again? Do we have a burning desire to see the geula, the redemption of the Shechina? He said, we don't. So he says, so Hashem sends us other reasons to cry. Because he says, we don't cry over the galos. Now again, I'm quoting Rabbi Levin. I saw it still posted online. You can go online and see there on Matzav Rishiva Wonders. There's a link to the Weisner, so you can fast forward. You could see him speaking himself. He was the last hesped after the siblings and the engaged sister spoke on them right before they took him out for the kvura. Rabbi Levin spoke, but he said the ikur is shechinta begalusa, and we don't feel it. We don't feel that the Shechina is in exile, the divine presence. We always talk about Shachin. Do we really want to be close? Do we want God to be our neighbor again? Do we want Him to be a 12 harbais and I'll be a 13 harbais? How badly do you want it? How bad, Lamaisa? How bad? I'm talking to myself. How bad is the galus for me? So we don't feel it. So Hashem sends us a reminder. He said, the only way to bring Mashiach is to feel Shechinta begalusa. So if I don't feel it, so Rachmana Litzlan, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch is medaktik with the tzaddik kichud hasa'ara, because there's a redemption for me, for my failings, for my lack. So he takes the pure one, the righteous one, because I need an atonement. Yeah.
So I went
speak louder for me.
I went to Nachum Avol, the Kaplan, the
Lakala's family.
And the mother is giving me chizuk. I'm sitting across Mrs. Kaplan, and she said, there's a reason that I listen to Shi'urim. She's one of our leaders. And that I go. Now,
do I know her from the main group?
You probably would recognize her.
So I should go to the mother. I don't know if I knew them.
She said, now I know. Because now I'm finally putting it to use. If I would not have done it this way, there would be nothing of me. But because I did it this way, and I prepared myself for years and years, I have my Yamuna, and it's all through the learning that I got this.
It fortified her, she said.
Right. I was blown away.
Her son spoke at the funeral and said that.
Say it louder, Risa.
Her son at the funeral said that the mother told them all, now is the time. This is what you've been learning.
Right.
Mm. All your learning, now it's to be put into use.
Risa.
So what your ladies are reminding me of, what Mrs. Kapp said, really reminds me very much of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva. It's so funny, not funny. It's also during time of Sefirah Omer, which is a time of mourning. Oh, clearly a time of mourning for the 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who were nifter from Pesach Adat Tzaras. I'm going to comment on what you ladies shared, the words of Chizuk that Mrs. Kaplan said about herself. So it reminds me of the death of Rabbi Akiva, because the Gemara says, when they took out B'Sha'a Shotziu Rabbi Akiva Lahariga, and they took out Rabbi Akiva for murder. It was time for murder, killing, death, an atonement for a generation. He was one of the Saruga Malchus. Do we understand the Saruga Malchus? That the pure righteous, the 10 Mars that we read about in Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, why were they killed in such a fashion? Why were they killed? That they took the skin, because the daughter of the emperor loved him, his beauty so much, they saved the skin of the face so she could always gaze on his beauty. Do we understand such a thing? Zerahi milfane kabluha, said the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Malach HaYashar said, God, what are you doing? Zu Torah v'zu Schora. This is the reward for a life of Torah. God said, it's a gzeir before me, it's a decree. Accept it, or I will turn the world back to tohu vavohu. So Rabbi Akiva, it was Zman Kriya Shema Haya. It was a time of the recitation of Kriya Shema. And they were scraping his flesh with metal combs. Hayusarkim es besar b'masreko shel barzal. With the iron combs, they're scraping his flesh. And what was Rabbi Akiva doing? You all know the Gemara. What was Rabbi Akiva doing? He was saying the Kriya Shema. So what do we say in the Kriya Shema? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, and you shall love Hashem your God. Do we just say the words, or do we really believe the words? V'chol avavcha, your whole heart. Give God both shnei yitziracha, both your inclinations. V'chol nafshecha, with all your soul. Afilu lu no tel es nishmascha, says Rashi. Even if he takes you in a shema, dvar perik vav.
Bless you.
Bless you. And with all of your resources, whether he gives you a good measure or a measure of difficulty. How do you translate puranus? Suffering, plight, struggles, difficulties. My friend Rachel Solomon says, when I speak about not being able to translate words out of Lashon HaKodesh, she says you need like 5 words to translate one word out of Lashon HaKodesh. So, ben b'midah tova, ben b'midah peranus. That's how you have to love him. With your two yetzers, your inclinations, even if he takes your soul, and with each and every measure that he gives you. So that's what we say every day. How many times a day? Shachris, Arvis, Kriya Shema, Amidah. 3 times. Do I really live like that? Or do I say it? So he was saying the Kriya Shema. So his Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu Arkan, Rabbi, that's how much dveikus you have. That's how much you love God, that when he's taking your soul, you could say the Kriya Shema. He was ma'arich ba'achad. He was saying, Shema Yisrael Hashem Kadosh Hashem Echad. So Rabbi Kiva said, Kol chayai hayisi mitzta'er. All my life, you know what mitzta'er means? I was pained. I was wondering. I was questing. Am I going to have a chance to fulfill b'chol nafshecha? Am I going to have a chance to fulfill love of God with all your soul? Achshav sheba liyadi, now that it came to my hand, lo kayimena, shall I not fulfill? And that's what your story about Ms. Kaplan, Shushav Koach, and Nechama, that's what your story reminds me of. The epitome of Amuna, said Rabbi Akiva, is in the moment of the test. I've been preparing my whole life for when they're scraping my flesh with metal comb. So what should I do now? I should say, God, why? Or I should say, V'ahavta, I love you. I am ma'arich be'achad. He was ma'arich with one, accepting the oneness, Kabbalas Omalchus Shemayim. This is something Rabbi Levin spoke about in his hesped in Eretz Yisrael. He said after his son Ari was nifter a little over 2 years ago, for bringing Schusim, he worked very much on accepting Kabbalas Omalchus Shemayim, the acceptance of the yoke of God's kingship, kingdom. That God is king. He quoted Umodim, we bow down, we prostrate, we give thanks and admit to the supremacy of the King of all kings, the Almighty God. This is what Rabbi Levin said at the Levaya for his son. After Ari's Nifter, he works on having tremendous kavana. Why? Because what do we say when we bow down by Aleinu? Anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim lifnei melach melach. Malchei hamlachem. They're bowing down to emptiness and nothingness. El El Ol Yoshia, God who will not save them. But Hashem is Melech. So Hayamarich Be'echad, he lengthened the Echad the onion of being mekaba o malchus shamayim, ad sheyatza nishmaso be'achad, till his soul went out with achad. Abaskol came out and said, Ashracha Rabbi Akiva, you are fortunate. Sheyatza nishmascha be'achad. Ashracha Rabbi Akiva muchad nechaye olam haba. He is ready for life in the next world. But his whole life, from the age of 40, this is Sfiras HaOmer. This is when we mourn for the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva who died during this period. Why do we count Sfira? It's a mitzvah. Deoraisu Sfartam lachami mecharash asabes miyam aviyochem es over tnufa. There's a deoraisa mitzvah to count Omer. And yet during this time period of Omer, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says, so why is it sad? It's sad for something that after the Doraisa. But he says, no, if the Talmidim died during Davka, during this time period, then there's something about the count, the Doraisa from the Torah that is inherently mournful. So they died. His whole life was preparing him for that moment. He had to regroup, if you will. He had to rebuild after the death of those 24,000 Talmidim. He went to the south, he didn't give up. His whole life was a constant ladder, preparing him for the final moment. The epitome of what might be for some the challenge of Amuna, which for him became a glorious test, which he passed. I'm going to go back to Henny. 1 second, please. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehi Abedral. Any questions or comments? You know, someone, what's happening after my Parsha class, it wasn't this material, but it was very much the Parsha through the lens of the Torah and through the lens of Inyanei Diyoma. And she said, death, sad. So you know what I thought to myself? I didn't write the script. So this is what it is. So the Maisa, we have to learn, and we have to be mechazik, and we have to find hope so that we can cope. We have to be mechazik. We didn't write the script. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam gives. B'shas chadvasa chadvasa, says Rashi. And the Parshas Noach. In the time of rejoicing, we rejoice. B'shas evlasa evlasa. And in the time of Vedas, there's a time and a place for everything. L'chol zman veis tachas ha-shamayim. Henny said, on April 6, 2014, when she was in the throes of battling her cancer, she revealed her own low mood. Excuse me. So on Wednesday night, I burst out crying. Like, what's going to be with me? And what's going to be with Pesach? And what's going to be with the kids? And what's going to be with the chaos? And what's going to be with the house? I was totally overwhelmed. And my son-in-law called me and he said, I have a story for you. And it solved my problem. She tells a long story about Moshele. They don't give the whole story verbatim. A Jewish innkeeper in a desperate situation who hears a teaching for the Abdur Rav. The story gives him hope. I thought it was very interesting. One of my classes earlier this week pointed out that hope and cope are almost the exact same word. Because when we have hope, it allows us to cope. And Rachman Alatzan, if we don't have hope, we cannot cope. I remember reading a few years ago that a person can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, but cannot live for 40 seconds without hope. So she tells a story about Maishala, a Jewish innkeeper, a desperate situation. He hears a teaching from the Abdur Rav. The story gives him hope. With renewed faith and joy, Maishala returns to his inn. Hashem will redeem him. Hashem rescues him completely. This is what the son-in-law told Henny to lift her spirits. So I know everybody, says Henny, is waiting to see salvation. Some people have one major problem. Some people have two major problems. Some people have a lot of major problems. And there's different degrees. And by the way, it is subjective. What is major and significant for someone else is not necessarily major and significant for somebody else. For everybody, they have their own nisayon. And we don't see the light. And everybody's waiting. Like, I want to be healthy. I want the shidduch. I need money. I want peace. I want joy. I want stability. And we look to Hashem and we say, are you hearing me? So the answer is yes. Hashem is hearing you. He's redeeming every single person. Every prayer is heard. Every prayer is bringing the redemption closer. Every prayer is bringing your own salvation closer. We have to ask Hashem for amuna and for joy, not just to daven for the Yeshuas. Hashem, something I read in Risa Rotman's book that sometimes I repeat to myself, Risa Rotman's husband, Chaim Howie Rotman, Hashem Yikom Damo Zecher Levracha, was the last of the Harn of Kedoshim to die of his wounds almost a year after the attack. And she writes in her book that she asks Hashem, Hashem, please don't let me become bitter. Everyone has, Hani says. Some people have one major problem, some people have two major problems, some people have a lot of problems. Please, Hashem, don't let me become bitter. What do you have to do, says Hani? Hashem is hearing you, redeeming you. We just went through Yetzias Mitzrayim and redemption. Every prayer is heard. Every prayer brings the redemption closer. Every prayer brings your own personal salvation closer. And we have to ask Hashem. I'm taking a break from Hani for a minute. Rav Soloveitchik relates as follows. With the arrival of the dark night of the soul, in moments of agony and black despair, when living becomes ugly and absurd, when life is nauseating, when man loses his beauty and his majesty, right there, God addresses him. Not from infinity, but from the infinitesimal. Am I saying it right? Infinitesimal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Not from the vast stretches of the universe, but from a single spot in the darkness which surrounds suffering man. From within the black despair itself, there's God. 11 years ago, he says, my wife lay on her deathbed. I watched her dying day by day, hour by hour. Medically, I could do very little. All I could do was pray. However, I found I could not pray in the hospital. I could not daven in the hospital. I could not find God in the whitewashed long corridors with the interns and the nurses. The need for tefillah was so great. I could not live without gratifying this need. The moment I returned home, I would rush to my room, fall on my knees, and I would pray fervently. And God, in those black moments of despair, appeared not as the exalted, majestic king, but as a humble, close friend. God appeared in those moments as my brother, as my father. In moments of black despair, he was not far from me. He was right there in the dark room. Vayidom Aaron. It's acceptance. It's submission. It's passivity. Kol yamai hayisi mitzta'er ala pasuk b'chol nafshecha. Achshav sheba liyadi lo kayimena. God was right there. Not as a majestic, exalted king. He was a humble, close friend. Shachein, shchina, neighbor, right there. Karav, close, brother, father. In such moments, he was in the room. I felt his warm hand, so to speak, on my shoulder. I hugged his knees, so to speak. He was with me in the narrow confines of a small room, taking up no space at all. That's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is when we're suffering. When we're suffering, Shrinta Bagalusa, he's also suffering. He's also crying. He also wants the redemption. The Medrash says Hashem is sitting and davening. He builds himself a sukkah over Har Abayis, saying, when will my home be rebuilt? God's abiding in a fenced-in finite locus, infinity comes to a finite space, manifests his humility and his love for man. He wants to be with us. He is with us. We have to find him in such a time. We have to remember him in such a time. In such moments, humilitas dei, Greek, the humility of God, resides in the humblest and teeniest of places and addresses itself to man. So Hani says, you have to daven. And every tefillah brings the redemption closer. And every prayer brings the salvation closer. So she says she found her biggest challenge. My nephew, who also went through chemo, told me chemo plays havoc with your emotions. To be in a positive state of mind was so difficult. It was unbelievable, overwhelming. But then I realized it was always a challenge. It's not like we blame it on the chemo. It's a challenge. Put on a smile and stay happy. No matter what situation we're going through, and that is the stark contrast between the simcha of Yom Tov, put on a smile and stay happy. I'm sure you saw Rabbi Feiner's piece that he sent out before Yom Tov, before second day's Yom Tov, after the Levaya, on the ability of the Jew to be simultaneously full of pain and simultaneously be able to rejoice. We can compartmentalize. We can put away our pain to take out the happiness. Each one of us in a way. We're all a chelek alokai mima'al, says Hani, a portion of God from above. And the Shekhinah is in every woman. And really, when we're happy, Hashem is happier. That's what Rabbi Levin said. When we feel Hashem's pain, so we'll come to redemption, because we're in tune with his feelings, so to speak. We're obligated, said Hani. We have to be besimcha. We have to be happy. Yivdu es Hashem besimcha, bo lefanu birnana. Serve Hashem with simcha, come before him with gladness. There was once an artist, listen to this mashal, who spent several months painting a magnificent masterpiece. And one day he went with his friend to the mountain where he used to work. Does anyone remember this from the book? Yes? One day he went with his friend to the mountain where he used to work on this painting. The artist is admiring this painting. He's analyzing how the trees in the painting look exactly like the trees in the real life, the color, the shading. Everything is supposed to be the way it is. And he's backing up to get a better view of his painting. Backing up. But behind him is a cliff. The friend is holding up the picture. And the artist keeps backing up. And he's so enthralled and absorbed in his painting, he pays no attention to his friend. He pays no attention to the cliff. All he sees is the painting. And the friend starts screaming, "Cliff, cliff," but he's backing up. The friend is shouting, the cliff, but to no avail. The artist is very close to the cliff. The friend rips the painting. The artist ran forward. Now he sees that something's wrong. Now he hears the friend. Now his painting is destroyed. He starts hitting his friend. He starts beating him. And the friend said, "I destroyed your painting, but turn around. Look what happened to you almost. You were so enthralled with your painting, you almost fell off of the cliff." The artist realized what happened. So he gives him a hug and he gives him a kiss. So Salvechik says that those moments in the darkest despair, Hashem's hand is right in his shoulder. He falls down on his knees and he hugs the knees of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is falling down with me. So when sometimes we feel like the picture's torn or our body is torn, or something is not going the way we want it to go, we have to remember Hashem is calling us and we're not hearing Him. We're so focused sometimes on the issue at hand that we forget the bigger picture. Who's holding up the issue? The Ribbono Shel Olam's holding up. Who's holding the painting? But all I see is the painting. I'm like a horse with blinders. And my love and Sarah, we don't feel Shechinta Begalusa. We don't really cry. We don't see God in the picture. Once a year, I take out the kinnis. I sit on the floor. But I have Torah, I have mitzvahs, life is good. I don't remember who's holding the painting. So sometimes, Rachmana Litzan, the Ribbono Shel Olam rips the painting. And then, so why didn't we see him before he ripped the painting? Why didn't you cry or meow said to those who went into Golus? Rabbi Levin started this medrash. If you would have cried one time, said your meow said to the B'nai Gola, this wouldn't have happened to you. One time before the exile, before the Churban, before the babies were slayed by the Babylonians. One time you would have cried before, so this wouldn't have happened. So we have to remember, said Henny, when the picture tears, our body's torn, or something's not going the way we want it to go, what we have to remember is it's Hashem calling us, but we're not hearing. We're falling off the cliff. Our cliff is a disconnect from God. We're falling off the cliff. We're not remembering that everything is Him. And that's really what Rabbi Levin Strauss said, his own son, Zavai, when he stood up to speak. First, he went over to the Nifter, who was on the stretcher, on the platform, and he kissed his son first. He kissed the body of his son wrapped in the talus. And he went up to speak. And he started by quoting the pasuk from Parsha Shemini about five times at least. Va'achechem kol beis Yisrael yivku es hasreifa asher saraf Hashem. What Moshe said to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, that your brothers, the entire house of Israel, will cry for the fire that God has burned. Will cry for the painting God has torn. That's how we began. And then he himself said, we don't feel Shechinta Begalusa. There's a disconnect. We're falling off the cliff. We're not remembering. Everything is from Hashem. We're not remembering to be happy, said Henny. We're not remembering to count our blessings. Did you see Rabbi Bender also sent out thoughts, a very powerful email as well early this week, thoughts after the tragedy. And he said, one of the things we have to learn from this is to focus on what we do have. Miriam Peretz says, I have eyes. And I can choose with my eyes what to focus on. And she says, so shouldn't after everything I focus on the good? Miriam Peretz says, every Yom HaZikaron I have to decide which grave should I stand by on Yom HaZikaron and Har Herzl? Should I stand by Uriel, who fell in 98? Or should I stand by Eli Raz, who fell in 2010? So the first Yom HaZikaron was less than a month after Eli Raz was killed, Erev Pesach, Shabbat HaGadol. So she says to Uriel, forgive me, my Uriel. Every year I've stood beside you, But this year I need to stand next to Ali Raz. He needs me now. He's new to this section. The ground is dark, but I know you and Abba are up there with your hands outstretched, Abba with his talit, blessing you. Back to this week's parasha, first time that there was Birkat Kohanim, priestly blessings, Birkas Kohanim. We're not remembering to be happy. So Rabbi Bender said, the next time you have to schlep your child to a play date, if you don't feel like going out, be happy you have a child to take to a play date. And I think I lost count after 10 loads of laundry, and I kept saying to myself, thank God I have a laundry room. No, I really said this. I learned this from Henny. Henny would put in the laundry and say, you know how many times I say to myself, what would Henny say? You can't imagine. Henny would put in the laundry and say, please let the stains come out of this shirt. I said, Hashem, thank you that I have a dryer that works. Thank you that I could walk up and downstairs. And I really meant it. I've spoken a number of times in somebody's home, Rahman al-Islam, the woman is totally incapacitated. I think to myself, what would she give to do 10 loads of laundry? Baruch Hashem, I could do 10 loads of laundry. Okay, it's 1:30 in the morning, I'm waiting to switch the loads. Baruch Hashem, I can do it. We're not remembering. Who's holding the painting? So he rips it. If you would have cried one time, says Yirmiyahu, before the Churban wouldn't have happened. We're not remembering to be happy. We don't remember to count our blessings. We don't remember Hashem could bring salvation. So Hashem has to send something or somebody to rip the painting. That's exactly what Rabbi Levin said in different words. Shechinta begalusa, but we don't feel it. We don't. He said, do we have a burning desire to be close to God? Is it our shalom bias that's ripped? Tranquility in the home, whether it's with a spouse or a child or siblings? Is it our health? Is it our kids? Is it the in-laws, the jobs, the neighbor? Whatever it is, Hashem tears off a piece of the painting so he won't fall off the cliff. And if you still don't see who's holding it, he tears off another piece of the painting. And if you still don't see who's holding it, another piece of the painting. Falling off the cliff is disconnect from Hashem, so he tears it. So we should look and see someone's tearing the painting. Who is it? At this point in the class, one student asked the question that was roiling all the students. It was one thing for their beloved Rebbetzin to win her own battles with Amunah. But how were they, the students, to understand and accept Hashem's afflicting a great person who was their teacher? And this is something that we can relate to as well. It's one thing for the mother to say, this is my whole life, what I've been preparing for. But we're so full of pain and astonishment. My daughter came into the kitchen towards the end of the Leviah. My 12-year-olds were at home, and she said, what are you watching? I said, it's Levi from Eretz Yisrael, and all you could hear at that point, it was during the burial and the shoveling of the dirt, and all you could hear was the heart-rending sobs. So it's one thing for Rabbi Akiva to have such a muna, but what about the Malachi Yisharis themselves who said, Zu Torah, Zu Schora? What about for those looking from the outside in who can't understand that they could scrape your flesh and you're saying, Achad? It's hard for everyone else, said the student. It's hard to see this and make sense. Those students represented all of us, writes the author, Sari Yocheved Rigler. Henny's hundreds of friends, and again, it's not just for the situation and the kapara that came with Henny's life and Henny's death, it's every matzav that we face. It's those of us devastated at news of such a nisayon, such a loss, such a tragedy. Speaking for myself, I'm quoting not Henny anymore, Sari Yocheved Rigler, the author, my concept of Hashem was not large enough. Listen what she writes. Speaking for myself, my concept of Hashem is not large enough to include a benevolent God who would give Henny Machus cancer. It's very honest. It's very frank. I can't understand that. I look at a righteous person who does so much for Knesset Yisrael. I can't understand such a good person, such a kind person, an innocent three-month-old child. Not one sin, not one stain on a three-month-old child. Suffering is a goad to growth. Right, Sari Yocheved Rigler? Henny was growing as much as humanly possible, suffering to redress the mistakes of past Gilgulim, past souls who came down to this world through this concept of reincarnation. Wasn't her chesed 24/7 enough to fix 1,000 lifetimes? Not until after her death, I read the answer that follows, which Henny gave her students that April day. And finally, says Rabbi Yocheved Rigler, I made peace with Henny's suffering and my own pain. Henny's answer is startling in what it reveals. How did Henny end this portion of this year with her students? In a state of prophecy, almost in a state of prophecy, Henny said to her students, because there's a lot of fixing that has to be done in the world, and Hashem chooses who he wants to atone for the generation, and who has the shoulders, Yisachar bends the shoulders to bear the burden of the generation, who has the shoulders to go through different things. There's a lot of fixing that needs to be done in our time, in our generation, in our society, in our Yahadus, in our Kesher, in our Dveikus, in this world. And Hashem chooses. He chooses who can atone for the generation. He chooses who can shoulder, who's strong enough to hold up these different things. I saw a beautiful Amethyst mashal brought down by Yisrael Besser in Mishpacha, the Pesach edition of Mishpacha magazine. That was a very powerful mashal. And he says, he was talking about always remembering that we're one united nation and remembering our goal. And our goal is to come back to Hashem. There's a mother. Give me 2 minutes, please. Let me just, 2 minutes, please, Nader. There's a mother who sends her children to the store. She tells them, get me eggs, bread, and milk. So they go to the store, and they get the eggs, bread, and the milk. And on the way back, they're accosted. And they're accosted, and they're beaten, and they're taken to the hospital. And finally, they're released. And after they're released, they get into a terrible car accident. This is how it's written. And they're banged up, and they're bruised, and it's a terrible car accident. And finally, they get better from the car accident. And they are kidnapped. And finally, after putting up the ransom and getting out from the kidnappers, after all the tsaros that they've gone through, the children look at each other, and what do they say? We have to get home to mommy. She's waiting. 4 eggs, 2 milks, a loaf of bread. And the other sibling says, no, you have it wrong. 2 eggs, 4 milk, a loaf of bread. What's the point, he says? In their argument, they show that all the pain and all the suffering, he says, we've been through deserts, we've been through accidents, we've been through torture, we've been through enemies, we've been through so much in the 3,000 plus years since Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pain and sorrows and Agmash Nefesh, tonight is Yom HaShoah, next week is Yom HaZikaron, we have personal tragedies, we have national tragedies, we have atonements for the generation. Lamaisa, we have to go home to Mami. Avinu Malkeinu, Melech Malchem Malkeinu, that we should never forget, despite all the bumps in the road, and some of them are small, like the size of a pebble, and some of them are big, like the potholes after the winter, but we cannot forget, Lamaisa, where we are, and who we are, and where we're going. And we have to get home to Mami, because she asked us for this certain thing. So we should be Zocha, that all of our learning, and our growth, we should be zocheh that it should prepare us for the simchadik, the most simchadik times. We should feel shchinta begalusa. We should remember who's holding the painting so that we don't fall off the cliff of disconnect. And the Ribbono Shel Olam does not need to rip up any more korbanos to make us remember who's in charge of it all. It should strengthen our amuna and should be an aliyah for their precious, precious neshamas. And perhaps if we feel shchinta begalusa, so Rabbi Levin, with that, we'll be zocheh to bring the Mashiach. Amen. Should we only share besuras tovos and simchas, umach Hashem dima me'al kol panim, v'cherpas amo yasir me'al kol eretz ki Hashem diber. Besuras tovos, good Shabbos, and chodesh tov. Iyar, ani Hashem refa'echa. Iyar comes after Nisa. Ani Hashem refa'echa, I'm Hashem, your healer. Thank you, ladies.